This is an important panel. You know, the negative reactions, positive action, the patient experiences, and what we wish our doctors knew. And we have three good people here with us who will tell you their patient experiences and what they're doing about dealing with it. And they're very, very important people. For those of you who don't know, is there anybody here who doesn't know who I am? Good. That means you're watching. You're watching our Wednesdays, right?
We love you.
Thank you. Yes. I love you all, but I never get to see you. So it's a thrill for me to be here and to actually meet you all. Anyway, so that we will do questions. We'll stop it whenever it's time, whenever, you know, and we'll get some questions in. And again, this is kind of free form here, but we have to have it on the mic because we are recording the audio so that people will at least have a chance to hear what we're not doing fancy video, but they'll have a chance to, you know, hear what is being said. And these are important and lively sessions. We've got good people here. So that's important. And you can watch the other stuff on video, you know. Anyway, now then. Okay, so this is our last pop-up session of the afternoon. And I have the honor, I'm going to stick to the script here a little bit, to introduce you to three very brave and strong women. They are here representing REACT 19, which is one of the only other organizations out there fighting for and giving support to individuals dealing with COVID-19 vaccine injury, which of course you know doesn't exist, right? So this is all misinformation, just letting you know that. Yeah, you'll decide that yourselves in a minute. Anyway, Breanne Dressen is REACT 19's co-chair. A previously healthy preschool teacher and mother of two young children, Breanne's life changed when she participated in the AstraZeneca clinical trial. After one shot in November 2020, she experienced severe paresthesia, double vision, and extreme sound, light, touch, and teeth sensitivity. She also experienced tinnitus, brain fog, memory loss, limb weakness, motor dysfunction of her legs, and loss of bladder control. What a splendid situation to be in. This evolved into tachycardia, blood pressure fluctuations, temperature dysregulation, and internal electric shocks or internal vibrations. She began receiving treatment in June 2021 and has improved somewhat, but is not yet out of the woods. In the meantime, she discovered a huge community of vaccine injured who, like her, were experiencing life-altering adverse reactions and getting little to no help from their communities, their medical teams, or their governments. That's what led her to start REACT 19. With her today is Jessica Sutta, a writer and a former member of the International Platinum Award winning record recording pop group, the Pussycat Dolls. Yes. Jessica was severely injured by the Moderna vaccine 2 years ago, and her life hasn't been the same. However, that hasn't stopped her from pouring everything she can into helping heal the injured and to give a voice to those who are suffering. Also joining Bree and Jessica, we have Danae Dixon, who was an active and energetic respiratory therapist working in a hospital before she took the COVID shots. She took them against her better judgment because she was told it was the right thing to do and she wanted to protect her patients. I'll let these women tell you the intimate details of their stories and what they're doing, and thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you.
So I guess I'm going to start, if it's cool with you. We have problems when we stand up and we get super potsy, and it's a little bit of a drop there. So we're just going to stay seated for this segment, if that's okay with you. So I'm Breanne Dressen, and we'll see if I can figure out how to get this slide to advance. Or maybe
gonna
it won't.
Need to change the slide?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there something that's not on?
It's just the right button.
It should be. The right button should move it, right?
Oh, yeah.
No. Here's our tech man who can solve all problems.
I love that.
IT will make it all better. It's really just because I want you to see how cute my kid is. So, right button. Perfect. Okay. Aww. Yeah, so see, they're kind of cute when they're not talking back. So, yeah, so I was a healthy young mom of two, and really just life was great. Typical lifestyle, living in the mountains in Utah, teaching my kids all of the wonderful things of, you know, nature has to offer us where we lived. And I learned about a clinical trial with AstraZeneca because I wanted to make sure that I was doing my part to end the pandemic. I had some family members with serious heart conditions, and I didn't want to be the reason that they got COVID, right? So I was all in with the narrative. Of course, now it's like, I don't know how I bought into all of it, but I did. So I enrolled in the clinical trial with AstraZeneca. In November, I got really, really sick. Within 2.5 weeks, I ended up in the hospital, and even just last week, I got some more medical records back from my stay in the hospital, and my legs weren't working, and I was incontinent, and on day 3, the physician came in and said, you know, COVID's been a really stressful time, and we just think that you just kind of flipped out a little bit after you got this shot and had a mental breakdown.
Okay.
And so my sweet husband that was in that last slide all of a sudden wasn't so sweet, but I didn't know what to do. I couldn't even think straight. I couldn't string 2 sentences together. So I was sent home with a diagnosis of anxiety due to the COVID vaccine, with intensive in-home physical and occupational therapy to rehab my legs and the issues with my cognitive deficits. So we, you know, like I mentioned before, I just got my more records back because, of course, they don't tell you everything, you know, until after malpractice, you know, statute of limitations is over, which I need to talk to you about. But anyway, and so in my notes, this lovely doctor said that my legs weren't working because I wasn't trying hard enough. And so, and it's crazy because I'm not the only person that was told this. It's actually very, very common that when your legs fail, you're told that it's up here. And it's like, well, I think I have more important things to do than to be laid up in a hospital bed. You know, I'd much rather be hiking with my kids. If my legs were working, that's what I would be doing. So anyway, so we get slapped with the FND diagnosis and, you know, go see a psychiatrist. I was drilled so hard that my issues were rooted in psychiatry that I finally believed them. I was like, they're the experts, they would know, right? I went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist did a full neuro eval, and he said, I have no idea what this is, but it is not, it's not anxiety. It's not FND. Your legs are not working because there's something going on, but I don't know what it is. So we got more help from the psychiatrist than we did from the home, from our home medical team. So my husband is a scientist. He reached out to the National Institutes of Health. This was in January of 2021. The NIH started a study. I was patient number 1 in that study. And from there, the NIH under Fauci, this was his team, brought in a whole bunch of us into the NIH. So my husband carried me onto the plane and put me, laid me down on 3 seats, and away we went to the NIH. And the security there was insane. There were bomb-sniffing dogs that went around the government-issued vehicle that picked us up from the airport and took us into the facility. X-rayed all of our stuff, all of our bags. It was a very secure, it wasn't a hospital stay, right? So we were there for 8 days, and I ended up getting confirmation that it was post-vaccine neuropathy. It was not anxiety, that I had severe tinnitus, sensory neuropathy, and a whole litany of other issues, right? The NIH, the National Institutes of Health, in June of 2021, were the only people that I had seen that did not gaslight me. And it's insane to me, because when I left there, I felt renewed, I felt validated, I thought, okay, this was a good step for me, this is a good step for the country. Because when I was there, they promised me, and they promised every single patient that was there, that they were going to take our information and then disclose this to the public. Just give us a couple more weeks, and we will tell the public, right? So they bought our silence with this promise that they were going to help everyone else like us. And of course, that didn't happen, as you guys know. So anyway, So that's a little bit of our story. But of course, because the government wasn't doing what they were supposed to, and we all were very, 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 very betrayed, then Joel and I decided to turn into crazy people and start this organization that advocates for COVID vaccine injured. So Joel Walskog is an injured orthopedist from Wisconsin. And and we met in November of 2021 at a round table by Senator Ron Johnson. And from there, we sat down and realized that the government wasn't going to do anything. So we had to figure it out ourselves. And so that's why we started React 19. So because we started React 19, we've been able to grow an incredible grassroots movement that's been by the COVID vaccine injured for the COVID vaccine injured. We have well over 100 volunteers right now. We're a 100% volunteer organization. It consists of medical professionals, social workers, pop stars, you know, anyone you can imagine. Nobody has been, you know, exempt from being injured by a COVID vaccine. We come from all walks of life and from all corners of the earth. So we've been able to do presentations all over the country, really. It's been quite a ride. But in addition to that, we've done a lot of advocacy work. We're definitely not letting the heat off of the government because we know exactly what they know. We know exactly what they promised us, and we know exactly what they're doing now, and none of it lines up. And so we're going to continue to push until they do the right thing. And we've been lucky enough to be able to pioneer the next step for that, which is going to be sending a proper vaccine injury lobbyist to Washington, D.C., and that's going to start this spring. And so Joel's going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow. So with that, that's me. So Ms. Dixon is going to go next.
You got that thing right. Right. Hi, I am Danae. I guess during the pandemic, I was considered your healthcare hero. I spent the first 12 years of my career doing children's trauma. And when COVID hit, me being the trauma junkie that I am, I, you know, obviously saw on the news of people doing CPR in the parking lots and all these people dying in hallways. And I was like, I want to go to that war zone. Like, I wanted to see what it was about. They said that they were short respiratory therapists. And, you know, that's what I do. I work on ventilators. So I quit the children's world and started out doing travel assignments around the country to COVID units. And prior to that, I was a crazy river going snowboarding respiratory. I mean, it was my life. So I started doing the travel assignments. I got a travel assignment in California, LA County, and loved the hospital. It was a level one trauma center, and started noticing that adults do more stupid things to themselves than kids do. Gunshot wounds were fun. So I decided to take a full-time job there. While in my 90-day probation, the vaccine came out, and I was a hard no. Even though I was working in the COVID units, I was, in hindsight, seeing the 1%. I was seeing the people on ventilators. I was the one killing people on ventilators. We would argue with doctors all the time, like, you know, we're giving them too much PEEP or the volumes are too high. So that part was scary. And then knowing what I saw, like, the majority of the people that were dying of COVID had, like, diabetes and high blood pressure, and that was my mom. I've already lost my dad, so my mom's my best friend, and the last thing I wanted to do was bring it home to her. So when the vaccine came out, I still didn't want it, but I was also afraid to bring it home to my mom. And then they were also told me that there was a really good chance I would never make it past my 90-day probation if I didn't get it, even though it wasn't mandated at the time. I might not make it past my 90 days. I'm a single income. I had just purchased my first home, and I didn't really have a choice, so I did it. 12 hours after my vaccine, I woke up with the most excruciating headaches. I've had 12 days since January, since January 19th, or just January 10th, I've had 12 days without a headache. Took me straight to the ER. Inflammation in my brain, blood clots, I started having difficulty walking. Obviously, I have this really cool stutter now. Chicks dig it. Said no one ever. I started going my own hospital. I was made fun of in the ER. Doctors thought I was crazy. So I started going outside regular medicine and seeing, because they were the only doctors that treated me like I was a human. But in that meantime, I did have all the testing. I had lumbar punctures, MRA, MRV, CTs, TCDs, NCS, EMG, every type of blood work known to man, EEGs. I've been prodded and pricked and stuck in every machine that is possible. I now have 5 autoimmune disorders. I have diffuse brain dysfunction. I'm on 4 blood thinners a day. I lost my home. Sorry, I'm stupid, I keep doing this. I just moved here to Arizona, because obviously to get out of California. thanks. I've quit doing treatment. I've spent $50,000. I've been to Northern California, Southern California, Nevada. I spent a month in Florida. And my issue is not, every doctor wants to help. Well, naturopath doctor wants to help. And everybody has a great idea. I have done everything I have, other than drink my pee. That's the only, I have to draw a line somewhere. but that's the one thrown at me right now. Sorry. Hyperbaric chamber, I've done probably 40 sessions of that. I've done the Ebu, I've done Flopresso, I've done ivermectin, I've done every IV known to man. And no relief, maybe a couple of days here and there, but nothing that works long term. And I understand the doctors are so eager to want to find an answer, and that's what I thought I would be doing, is I now left the hero side of working in a hospital and thought I would be the first vaccine injured to find the answer for all of us. And I have given it a go. But that is a roller coaster ride. You do this. It's the hopes that a doctor gives you that they're gonna fix you, and then you raise the money, or you beg from your parents and family, and or you spend everything you have, and then you do it, and it's over, and you're no different. So I'm at the stage now where I'm just trying to figure out how to live with it all. I have no career. My mom and I live out in the desert as neighbors. And I'm just trying to now just be loud. I'm trying to let people know that we are here, and I'm trying to help Bree and her amazing, what you guys are doing has helped me. I mean, they sent me to Florida, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without React 19. But now it's just to be a voice, to know that there are tons of us out there, and I'm still trying to figure out what is next. I'm a little too defeated right now to try anything else, because I am kind of at that point. It's not a one-size approach. We don't, you know, some people, you get jealous when someone does 4 things of hyperbaric and 1 Ebu treatment, and they're all better, and I'm, you know, nothing has changed for me. So, but it's just one day at a time, I guess, right now. But thank you guys all for being here. Thank you.
My turn. Hi everyone, I'm Jessica Sutta. It's so great to see a lot of you, see a lot of familiar faces. So that's my son, MJ. When I was about 7 months pregnant, my OB wanted to give me the COVID shot. And I thought about it, and I went home to think about it, because I looked at doctors as smarter than me. I was in reverence to doctors, right? When I got home, my husband said, absolutely not, you can't even have sushi. You know, like, why are you gonna have this shot that you don't particularly, you know, you don't trust yet? I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I didn't get the shot, luckily, and that he's the love of my life. And if I would have lost him, boy, whew, I would have burned down some houses for sure. You know, the reason why I got it was because of him. The news, I was very much mainstream, trusted my government. This is gonna protect your family, your babies, so I didn't want anything to happen to him. So I took myself to CVS, and I basically destroyed my health. 3 days after my first shot, I had my reaction. I woke up with terrible brain fog, with a muscle spasm that didn't leave my body for 6 months. I'm a dancer, and I went and did every modality, chiropractor, massage, acupuncture, you name it, nothing was taking it, you know, away. Got on Google, it must be an organ or something, so I took myself to a hospital 2 weeks later. They ran all these tests, and nothing indicated anything. They sent me home with antibiotics. The next week I got my second shot, and it destroyed me completely neurologically, everything. Started getting burning in my rib cage that would come like contractions for about 9 months, nonstop up and down my spine. They thought I had MS, and they did every single test, you know, for MS, a very painful, you know, spinal tap, all of that. I had a leak, it was terrible, had to go back to the hospital. And nothing indicated that I had MS, but they said, oh, isn't this great? I'm like, well, I don't understand it. Like, if it's MS, at least you can treat it, but what are you gonna do with me now? So they basically said it was all in my head. They put me on Cymbalta at 120 milligrams. My jaw was clenching, gabapentin, everything, Lyrica, things that were just so, that exasperated my pain so terribly that I just had to stop all of it. And I think for me, I still have pain, and my main, I found a doctor, Dr. Rachel West, who I absolutely adore, and she's really helped me, but what we found is that my main thing is vascular inflammation, and there are markers that show that I have ruptures in my blood vessels. So when does that ever go away? And you know, like her, you know, the thing is I've done every single modality, hyperbaric, you know, nothing, not one thing has given me relief except for maybe cannabis and, you know, maybe a muscle relaxer. And that's not the journey that I want to take. I just was healthy before this all happened. It's been really difficult being in the industry. I've been canceled, which is at this point, you know, an honor. thank you. I think it's a disgrace that, you know, they use like the music industry and actors to kind of be the puppeteers to push this product that has killed so many people. And people still to this day don't understand like these turbo cancers and these sudden deaths and all of these things are not due to what the vaccine, you know, it's something else. It's the weather, it's the eggs, it's the who knows, you know. So that's why I've dedicated my life to this nonprofit. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning when no one was listening to me, no one was caring, everyone thought I was a crazy person. I just couldn't sleep, the pain was just unbearable. And I went down my rabbit hole looking for something to distract my mind, you know, looking for aliens, right? So I'm in this weird rabbit hole and I come across this round table where I saw Joel and Breanne Dressen with Senator Ron Johnson. And that changed my life because I finally was like, I'm not a crazy person, there's hope. And you know, so I reached out to them right away and I'm so, so grateful. Being sick and seeing what they've done being sick also is miraculous and they're heaven sent. And I'm so grateful for both Joel and Breanne for I don't know, some angelic force pushed you guys to do this because you've saved so many lives and it's just, it's wild how many grants that have been out to save people for medical expenses, financial help, you know, because this is one of the most expensive journeys you could ever take. And a lot of the times, none of the modalities work, right? And there's a lot of doctors that say, oh, I have the answer. You know, I've written a check for $23,000, you know, and it's like savings, right? And he did nothing for me except for make my pain worse. So yeah, that's been my journey. I still don't feel good. I still don't dance anymore. Not going back to the Pussycat Dolls, but that's okay. but yeah, I want to be the voice for the people that are still being gaslit, still pinned crazy conspiracy theorists. And I do have hope that we will heal one day. I think it's just every patient is so complex. It's just not a one fix thing. There's different, you know, ways to fix everyone else. So I haven't found that yet. The burning is gone. It's just localized here. But I still have pain all in my joints and feet and blah blah blah. But I'm grateful to be alive. Yeah, I'm grateful that I woke up. You know, I was really living in this very, like, man, I was so afraid of Trump. I was so afraid of Tucker Carlson. I was, you know, it's like you get sucked into this very, the psyops, right? And I'm so grateful that I've leaned into everyone and seen the beauty in everyone, and it's transcended my life in a way, and I'm grateful for this injury for that reason. Yeah, and it makes me a better mother, too, because no more vaccines are going into my baby's arms, so thank you.
Did I say brave and strong and now motivated to do some really good things that they are doing? Wow. Honestly, don't know how anybody gets through what you've been through. And you know, and to take you at these young ages and to just really mess up your lives, I'd be so angry. You know, I just don't know how you get over something like that.
With
but
God.
You are doing remarkably good things. We must have some questions out here. If any of you want to ask and find out a little more details, we have to put you on the mic. Tanya, our wonderful Tanya Laycock, who's business manager
Thank you,
of the
Tanya.
FLCCC. You don't see her, but she does really important things. She keeps us solvent, and what's more than that, to know what a crazy job she has, she keeps Pierre Corey and Paul Marek schedules.
Ooh.
Ah, you know, and You're booking busy. Their travels and it's unbelievable. Anyway, she's a gem at this organization. You don't see her, but she deserves applause. Right. So.
Well, thank you all three of you. Very, very compelling stories. I'm from Utah. You still live in Utah?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I'm in Cottonwood Heights.
Awesome.
Where are you?
We're in Saratoga.
Okay, we'll have to get together sometime.
Yeah.
Okay. That someone would have a wonderful career dancing and have to give it up and do it after you had your child. Incredible. I guess I've heard of React 19 for a while with going to CHD and seeing your booth. And I guess I'm not real clear. Yes, you are active in getting the word out, and your three stories are very compelling and convincing. And so I guess I need more clarity on the React 19, your mission, what you're doing, and how you go about doing it.
Well, it's a good question. It's actually kind of perfect. So React, so it actually stands for Research, Education, Action, COVID-19 Therapeutics. And so what we do is we want to provide physical, emotional, and financial support for anyone that's harmed by the COVID vaccines. Unfortunately, we've been restricted to the United States, but through our partnerships, we've been able to partner with well over 18 other countries that are the exact same thing, that they're advocating for patients who are injured by COVID vaccines. All of us across the globe are dealing with the same problems. Medical, you know, total medical gaslighting, dumpster fire of finances, no disability access at all, and all of the governments, well, other than Germany and Japan and Thailand, are completely dismissing that this is even an issue, right? And therefore, we cannot get compensated. So this is the only product, as I'm sure you all know, that you cannot sue the manufacturer, period. There's no loopholes, there's no magical, but what if, da-da-da-da-da, no, it doesn't exist. And so the laundry list of things that needs to be done for people in our situation is long. So one, the first approach obviously is lawsuits, and that's what Warner Mendenhall is working on, which it's very complicated. But when it comes to the legal avenues, we're pushing in every avenue that we can find. And it's to hold the drug companies accountable, the health officials accountable, and to also shift the law so then we can finally get some money in people's pockets. So to date, the federal government has paid $41,000 total to 12 people that have been harmed by COVID vaccines. 11 of the 12 have been myocarditis. One has been anaphylaxis. The rejection rate for the program that's set up by the federal government that we can apply under has a one-year deadline to file. And if you file after that, you're totally SOL. There's no wiggle room. 98% rejection rate. So when we say we're screwed, we are screwed, right? Mm-hmm. So at React 19, we knew that the government wasn't going to be fixing this in any kind of timely manner, right? And so we started a total grassroots medical grant program, and it's run by 100% volunteers, right? And to date, we've been able to issue grants for $750,000 to over 100 applicants. And it's kind of cheesy, but it's true. Like, you talk about anger. It's like, how do you not become consumed by anger because of what's happened? And we absolutely, all of us do, you know? But I'm grateful to know that my kids won't have to go through what I went through, because if I was fine, I would have put that needle in my kid's arm and I never would have forgiven myself at this point. But this is the anger goes away when you think about the people that are hurt. When you think about this young woman who can never, take care of her kids how she wants. This kid his whole life was ahead of him, and now those dreams are gone, right, in an instant. And this young man he's gone. And his parents, they fight every single day to find justice for their son. And Joel has sat with them just as many times as I have. And to sit with someone with an extreme tragic loss like that, it changes you, even if the loss isn't from your own family. And so for us, this truly is a labor of love.
I don't have a question, but I have something to add. It's kind of my story. And when you're talking about getting support from our government and not getting any support from our government, both my mom and dad were in ICU with COVID. My dad didn't make it, and my mom did. They were both in their 80s. Everyone has a story like this, but what I just wanted to share with everyone, the interesting part is we received $12,000 from FEMA to support my dad's funeral. And I just find that so, we took it. It was my tax dollars, but it's so awful.
I agree. And you probably heard what happened to Ernest Ramirez. So Ernest Ramirez, he lost his 16-year-old son to the COVID vaccine due to myocarditis. And FEMA called him, and they asked him to change his death certificate from the COVID vaccine to COVID, so then they could pay him something. Well,
truth.
My name is Van Whitley, and I want to commend you for standing up. My story actually starts in 2015. I was diagnosed with a major heart aneurysm, and they gave me 2 years to live. And I had a very successful marketing business. I was also a highly successful Christian therapist. And I looked at my bank account, and I knew that I had 2 years. And I quit my job and I moved to the mountains in Colorado. And my sons were both in Colorado, and I decided that I would spend the last 2 years of my life doing what I wanted to do and watch my grandson grow up. Mm-hmm. Well, I got busy and I got into shape and I exercised like I had never exercised before, even though I had spent time in the United States Marine Corps and Army, and I knew how to fight. Well, let me fast forward to 2022. I took two vaccines in 21, and the booster came in 2022. My life and my wife's life turned upside down. I have never been through such pain, fatigue, ridicule, gaslighted by some of the best doctors that I had ever known, until I ended up with blood pressure at 242 over 222. And I had been in five hospitals in Colorado. And they all told me, go away. I ended up wanting to go to the Mayo Clinic here in Phoenix, and I got too sick, and I ended up hearing about the Cleveland Clinic and the adenovirus. So I put in my $1,850 and put in my case study, and months later, they still hadn't contacted me, and I ended up in a hospital in Southwest Colorado, almost dead. And I got on the phone and called a heart research nurse that I knew for many years and told Carol, I'm dying. She got me into the medical center in Houston, and they got my blood pressure down. And I'm emotional because I've lost all kind of friends. As a therapist, I deal with this every day. And it's coming to this conference, I thought I would learn more. I've learned, really what I've learned has been on my own and Dr. Peter McCullough, who saved my life. And what I'm trying to tell you is, no matter how hard we fight, the folks in Washington aren't listening. I know Senator Rand Paul. He helped me get into Dr. McCullough. I don't know him personally, but he felt pity on me and got me in. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, I've had multi conversations with him by email. And I would thought they would welcome somebody that had personal knowledge, not only on a medical perspective, but on a dealing with people that had long COVID and were suicidal on a daily basis. So I kind of backed off. I was very sick, but I kept exercising. And I kept doing Dr. McCullough's spike protein. And lo and behold, one of my old professors called me and told me about Dr. Daniel Amen, the brain therapist. Well, I said, can't be true, but I researched it, and now I am an affiliate brain therapist for Dr. Daniel Amen's team, and my own professor that I trained under in 09, we became partners. He's 81, but we both suffered from long COVID. So the journey has been long, and I have talked to hundreds of people across this nation. And the doctors I've talked to, there is Dr. Roger Billica out of Fort Collins, Colorado, that used to be over NASA. He helped save me, but it was Dr. Peter McCullough that stuck with me, and I stayed on the protocol and exercised. They talked about a recumbent bike. I used to turn up the music so loud, my wife said, what are you doing in that room? And I said, I don't want you to hear me screaming. And the pain levels were actually off of the charts. And so I'm a survivor. I'm coming out of this. Mm-hmm. Now, do I hurt? You bet I hurt every day. I have to get up, walk around. I work with a pain therapist out of the University of Florida, Dr. McCurdy. I do everything I can known to man, and then I ask God to give me the grace and the strength to walk through this and help people, because when you lose good friends and you lose people and they call you and they're suicidal and they're telling me that I've been to the medical center, they tell me there's nothing wrong, it's in my head. Well, the first thing a doctor told me, you need a psych consult, don't you? And I said, no, I am a psych consult. And I could go on for probably 2 or 3 hours of what I deal with, but I'm sure you ladies that have graciously told your story could do the same thing. But the folks in that other room that are our medical doctors, and they're learning about long COVID. I am not a medical doctor, but I'm a daggum good therapist, and I researched it, and I learned about brain supplements because my wife was dying. with COVID bring? I just happened to know enough to put her on supplements before I learned about Amon supplements, and I've had spec MRIs of my brain, and so has my wife, and we're gonna make it, and you will make it. And everybody in this room that fights long COVID, if we stick together and tell the folks in Washington to pound sand, and I'm sorry, Mike Johnson, all of them have not followed through the way that we need the government and the medical community to stand with us. And I've heard a lot of great doctors today, and I'm glad I'm here. I wasn't even gonna come because I hurt too much. But I got on a plane and I flew down here, and I'm glad I came, and I hope I hadn't bored you too much.
I'm glad you did. Well, unfortunately, the folks in Washington, if you looked at their donor records, you'd probably find a fair amount of big pharma contributions, not to mention there seem to be some other issues involved in why this is going on. If you had listened to Jeffrey Tucker this morning, he raised some very interesting issues, and of course, there's a book that Robert Kennedy has out that gets into that subject as well. It's scary. It's really scary, but yes, please.
So thank you all for sharing your really sad stories. I've heard you on a podcast where when you went to NIH and they treated you, did you feel sort of healed at the time, and then has it gotten worse?
Yeah, so it changed the trajectory of my recovery. So I was flat, like I was bed bound when I went. So they gave me 5 days of IVIG, they gave me high dose steroids, and then they sent me home. I was able to waddle onto the airplane by myself, even going home. So the reason that I can do what I do with React 19 and helping other people, this is what's insane to me, is it's because of the NIH, because they were the ones that were able to, like, you know,
and
give
you
me
said,
this U-turn.
You said they know how to treat this.
They know how to treat this,
that's
yes.
That's what is so right.
So,
maddening.
Yeah, so Dr. Avindra Nath, who's the guy that ran the study at the NIH, right under Fauci, again, because we all know that guy, he put it in an email to me right before I went public. I trusted all of them there, so I gave them a heads up, said, hey, I'm going to a press conference and we're gonna talk about vaccine injury. And he said, I commend you for your advocacy. There's two things that the world needs to know. One, early intervention is key. And two, immunotherapy is definitely something that people need to be looking into. And this was in the summer of 2021. And as you guys all know, they still have not said any of that to the public. They've sneaked it into a couple of small, you know, articles here and there, and that's been it. So, and we just recently had a FOIA of emails come back to us, and we actually have since discovered that Francis Collins knew exactly what was going on at the NIH under his, you know, under his nose with the study. And he proceeded to discuss back and forth about the neurological complications to the COVID vaccines, not alleged or even reported, neurological complications due to the COVID vaccines. And of course, they can't make the causal link publicly still, right? So there's this email dialogue where they go back and forth, and then at the end, Francis Collins is talking with the PR team at the NIH and is discussing whether or not to talk about this publicly, which obviously, as we all know, they decided not to.
Hi, thanks so much for sharing your stories. I'm a nurse from Colorado, and I was really interested in what, I can't remember who said it earlier, but the litigation that you were trying to feel through. I have a lot of nurse friends who were severely injured by the vaccine and are currently suing my hospital, which I'm very excited about. But I just wanted to know, like, what has come of that or what information, you know, just to kind of share with them.
Well, it's kind of tricky. I mean, one, obviously, they need to reach out to Warner Mendenhall, so you two should get together. And he's a notable lawyer that's trying to work through this with a lot of the injured community. There's a lot of people that are fighting with, you know, with workers' comp claims, and those aren't going very well. REACT 19 is currently involved in two different lawsuits, one where we're going after the PREP Act directly, so then we can sue the drug companies. And if that fails, the second measure in the lawsuit is to go after the CICP program, which is the 98% rejection rate, you know, joke of a program that we're forced to file under. So, the second lawsuit is a censorship suit, so that's going after the First Amendment.
Has there been any success with anybody suing their employer for like a mandate,
You know of one?
Pierre Corey had posted something about one of his patients. He had made a post about the victory of one of his patients that he helped get win a workman's comp suit. I'm currently in one, but I haven't, they just subpoenaed all my records, so I haven't really heard much. But they have already told me that since it wasn't mandated, when I got it, but even though I was in my 90-day and they were pushing it on us, that I really don't have a leg to stand on, but we're still going to give it a fight anyway. Luckily for me, everybody at work knew I was sick because I was walking with drop foot and I'd fallen in a patient room and everybody had obviously seen all the changes I had neurologically before they told me that I needed to go on medical leave. But when the mandates were coming out, the CEO of my hospital the hospital that I was working at was saying that, everybody's like, well, what happens if we get injured? You're mandating this, and what happens if we get injured? And he says, if anybody gets injured from the vaccine, you'll be covered completely under workman's comp. And so the comments, it was a live, like, Zoom meeting, and all the comments started filling up justice for Danae, like, what about our own respiratory therapist? No one's taking care of her. So I just started that whole, now that I have it on video, might as well go with it.
Yes.
Yes.
Someone else over here.
That is what it is.
Thank you for the work that you're doing. I just wanted to point out and ask if you could explain a little bit about the research that you're doing, because I think that would be of interest to a lot of people.
And so the research I'm kind of passionate about. My husband's a scientist, and so we nerd out a lot in our house. But since we, talk to a lot of lawyers about our options for future litigation, Bobby Kennedy was one specifically that told us that you're going to need like 20 to 30 published case reports and scientific, publications for each condition if you're even going to stand a chance in a court of law. And that's just with the vaccine injury compensation program, if we get put onto the right fund. So with that said, the importance of research is just as important, if not more important, well, I think it's equally important as the lawsuits. Without the data showing that there's problems, the lawsuits won't go forward. But with that said, at REACT 19, we've been able to really pioneer the understanding of what's going on with these conditions. Because as you guys have seen, especially those that you, that are treating vaccine injuries, we're kind of, there's 20 ways to skin a cat, and that's how it is with treating us and figuring out the solutions, right? And so we've been trying to get all of the 36,000 injured membership that we have together and figure out what do these injuries look like, and then translate that into what treatments are working for what types of injuries, right? And so right now we've been able to do an IRB-approved study that's currently recruiting. There's been 3,300 people that have enrolled, and we were looking for 2,500, and we opened this in end of November. So it's been pretty quick that we were able to pick up that many people. 850 have completed the process for the research so far. And what we've been able to do is already start seeing these clues of what types of therapies are going to be useful for what types of people. So now we're just trying to grow that, to quantify it into bigger numbers. And then, of course, the next step is to get it published into the peer-reviewed literature. And as of right now, we know of 5 publications that are submitted to, and they're on preprint servers, that are classifying these vaccine injuries, right? And they're done by really well reputable organizations like Yale, and none of them can make it through peer review. So there's a publication that we're actually partnered and we're co-authored with Yale, and that sucker's been rejected by 2 journals already. And so you know, but I mean, Mayo has done this and been rejected. The study at the NIH, they tried to get it published and it got rejected, you know. So it's, the scientific journals are definitely just as political as, you know, anything you're gonna find on the Hill.
Wild.
Keep at it. Don't quit. One last question.
Yeah, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to expand on your research question. I'm a physician, I'm an OBGYN, and it's very upsetting because there's 62,000 OBGYNs in our country, and I think there's like 10 of us that have been screaming from the mountaintops that there's problems with these shots and they never should have been given to pregnant women. But we've been trying to do a research, we've been working on this now, it's probably been a year and a half, a small study on patients. It's not even going to involve anybody really to have to do anything except give us consent to get their tissue blocks. Whenever you have a procedure done and your tissue sent to a lab, legally they have to hold on to that tissue block for 10 years. We just have to get consent to get their tissue. We want to send it. These would be in women who had funky placentas, who had DNCs for bleeding, who had hysterectomies for bleeding. Because Ryan Cole is involved in our group, and he wants to stain for spike protein. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, we have the study all designed. We probably have all the patients that we could enroll just in our individual practices, but we cannot get an IRB to approve our study because they're very left-winged organizations. And then we have to get funding because you don't even understand. I mean, just our little study of 50 patients is going to probably cost about $70,000. We're going to have to raise that money. So I know there's a lot of angry people, and I totally get why, and I totally understand, but they think that doctors aren't trying to help, and I'm going to get emotional because I know these women up on stage, but we are. It's just there's so many barriers, yeah. You know? We're not all multimillionaires. I mean, if you don't go into medicine to become wealthy, believe me. And, you know, there's just so many roadblocks, and, you know, everybody's so captured. You know, the research is really done just so the pharmaceutical companies can push out their poison, but they don't want to really find the answers. So we're trying, and I commend you doing what you're doing. And
we thank you for what you're doing, mm-hmm. And don't give up. Don't give up. We are not about giving up. We are really just getting started.